Shoot first, ask questions later. Fantasy football podcast. I am Britt Musgrove.
I am Nick Aiello.
And we're going to try to run it back this year again. I know we took a little bit of a break last year.
Complications with COVID, and the Aiello family is now a little bit bigger.
Right.
So my son Will has welcomed us into the world, and it was just a crazy end of last season.
We are going to try to get him on by week 10, but...
Maybe we could say, like, go Bills or
we'll
something
see,
like that.
We'll see. We'll see where we're at. We're going to handle all the headlines that we can. We're going to try to keep it as short as we can and as brief as we can. I know it's going to be a long episode because it is the first week of the season.
No bye weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of games right now. And so we're just going to kind of start off with...
There's one going on right now.
Yeah, there is. We are actually recording during TNF. We do not do the Thursday night games.
Yeah, usually, you know, so... let's just talk a little bit about the Giants because I guess a lot of people are wondering about Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. Is probably, you know, what am I doing with Saquon Barkley? You're starting him because you have to.
Right.
Like, I mean, you just like...
Where you drafted him...
He's not going to be out or anything like
right.
that. He's going to, you know...
It's also a strange fantasy situation where there's really no clear-cut handcuff here, too.
Yeah, you don't want Devontae Booker.
You don't want that.
Yeah, you're not interested in Devontae Booker. Like, if they still had Devontae Freeman, you would be more interested
maybe.
In him. Yeah.
Maybe, or even Miles Gaskin.
Yeah, or Wayne Gallman.
That's what I was thinking, Wayne Gallman.
But, you know... Takeaways for the first week, Sterling Shepard, he has a nice game, but we've seen flashes of this from Sterling Shepard in the past. I don't think it's anything you can count on being consistent. Like, he's not going to go for 113 and a touchdown every week. Evan Ingram, still out with injury. I don't know that he's even someone I'm that interested in anyways.
Right.
Like,
you're really not going to get a lot from this guy. There's 0% chance he plays more than...
I guess, like, positive note, Kenny Golladay, like, suited up and played a game for the Giants this week.
There's going to be games where they are going to score a lot of points, and we saw this last year, too, where there have been games where they've scored a decent amount of offensive points, and they only had to because they were so down. So it's a kind of a game script thing, but I don't really think you're ever going to be able to pick any of these guys.
Barkley is the only one I have confidence in starting, and I think it's going to be rough early in the season. I think it's going to be... Similar line to what he had, like 10 to 12 touches for probably the next 3 weeks at least. I just don't know. You know what's really weird? The guys coming off ACLs, especially all these guys got hurt really early. So I'm talking about Cortland Sutton, Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
In past years, it would seem like these guys are up to speed week one. I don't know what's going on with ACL recovery, if they're just taking it a little bit slower. But
well, they couldn't go to the hospital.
Maybe it was a COVID thing. Maybe it was
absolutely. Maybe you can't go to the hospital. You can't go to physical therapist.
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
You're not getting anything extra.
You're definitely seeing them be a little bit slower. I like the Browns' approach with Beckham, that they've just sat him down. You know what I mean? They said he's not ready. I don't think Cortland Sutton's ready either.
I also don't know, dude. I'm sure that some of these guys have their doctors come to their house.
Yeah.
You know, I understand. It's just the whole, like, resetting the schedule thing.
Yeah.
I think that probably screwed up the traditional ACL time.
Sure.
You know, I think that's a reasonable justification.
And every ACL tear is different, you know. That's the other thing. But Barkley, be patient. I wouldn't sell him because you're not going to get
anything. My understanding of Barkley was that he shredded his knee. There was other stuff that...
I mean, like, you can't sell low on Saquon Barkley at this point. Like, you just got to ride it out in the early season and hope, you know, he falls into the end zone here.
Yeah, I think you're going to probably get dinged up.
Yeah, Washington's a terrible matchup.
I'm talking about your fantasy team specifically. If you have drafted Saquon Barkley, you're probably going to take some on the chin the first couple of weeks, man.
So I'd say till at least week four, you're taking it on the chin.
I mean... You might not lose your matchup, but you're gonna probably get beat up. So that is what it is. For the Washington football team,
Tyler
German last name
Heineken. I'm gonna call him Tyler Heineken this year. Okay. It's actually Heineke, but I'm going with Tyler Heineken because he's gonna make you want to drink some beer when you watch him play because he's not very good as a quarterback. They also have Kyle Allen. This could turn into a revolving door in Washington. Also. Tea leaves. People have mentioned Cam Newton as a potential there, especially with familiarity.
He's got to be better than Tyler Heineke.
Probably. I mean, is familiarity with Ron Rivera, I don't know if that's a plus or a minus. You know, like, that's the one thing I would say.
I think it's probably a plus in this
situation. I mean, is Terry McLaurin somebody that you're selling
hey,
on?
Hey, Cam made it to the Super Bowl with the Panthers with a really good defense.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was young in his prime, but we've seen old coaches do this repeatedly.
Yeah.
The guy they trust, you know, like...
Obviously, we're
and also, this defense is better than that defense.
We forgot to mention this. A guy who a lot of people like in two quarterback leagues. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he has a dislocated hip. That's a tough injury. I don't know when you're going
to
see him back in the
they
field.
Said 6 to 8 weeks. I don't think that's really realistic.
He's no spring chicken, for sure, like in terms of Ryan Fitzpatrick. But Terry McLaurin, I guess, is he a sell? Is he a hold? Like, what are you doing with Terry McLaurin?
I don't think you can sell him right now because I think where you drafted him, you were... And it's, the whole preseason narrative was Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to add value to the receiving options in Washington. And that was the whole narrative. And it just...
We're right back to where we were last year.
Right.
Where their upside is limited. You know, they're probably wide receiver threes. I mean, Samuel's on IR right now. That's disappointing after a strong finish to last year. But you hope for the best with Terry McLaurin is what I would
say. Again, the familiarity with Rivera, too, with Samuel.
I mean, it's... It does hurt Antonio Gibson, I think. I think Antonio Gibson's definitely going to see some more stack boxes. If you're counting on him as an RB1, I think he's a better high-end RB2 at this point with Heineke rather than Fitzpatrick.
In a standard team league, probably, yes. Interesting guy. Always like the converted wide receivers.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to move on to the Sunday 1 p.m. slate. Cincinnati at Chicago. A little... Bengals action here.
Hey, undefeated the first Bengals. Place Cincinnati Bengals, at least for 1 week.
Right.
I
think the headline here is Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I mean, nobody could have. I believe, okay, so we didn't do a preseason show, but in all of my fantasy, you know, group messages and stuff, I have just been dogging this guy with all the drops, with the domestic off the field stuff.
Have a little feather out of your teeth.
I can't see the ball because it doesn't have white stripes on it. He leads the team in targets, yards, and scores a touchdown last week. Joe Burrow, you know, we know he has a familiarity there with him.
What an interesting storyline it is right now. These young quarterbacks with their college wide receivers.
I'll tell you.
Have we ever seen a situation where we had three essentially rookie quarterbacks throwing to their number one wideout from college? We've got
Tua,
Joe Burrow and Chase. We've got Tua and Waddell. We've got Hurts and Smith. It's a very interesting storyline that I think they're going to probably beat to a dead horse later in the year. But we'll say that we mentioned it week one.
Check, it'll be a Chris Collinsworth on Monday Night Football. Yeah, this out.
Week 10, we're just telling you.
Here's some guys that played together in college.
Yeah. How many guys?
I think here's what I'm going to say. The Bengals are a bad matchup for your defense. There are weapons aplenty over there. When your number three is Tyler Boyd, potentially, like, there is so much to go around in Cincinnati.
Let's talk about Tyler Boyd. He only had 4 targets. 3 for 35. I think, you think better days ahead?
Yeah, better. I mean, I think he's going to be a great PPR option.
I think the overreaction of week one, probably not a huge one, but one that I saw on a lot of outlets was, is he out of the rotation now?
No.
Because T. Higgins is going to get his.
He's going to be really capped on the touchdown upside. I mean, he might only score 2 or 3 touchdowns.
For sure.
I will say that. But I think he pushes close to 100 catches by the time the season's over.
Also, T. Higgins, 5 targets, catches 4 of them, 58 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
I think it's a little dumb to freak out about this kind of target share when you see Boyd, 4 targets, Higgins, 5 targets, Ja'Marr Chase, 7 targets.
Yeah.
This is not a huge disparity. They actually got surprisingly ahead of the Vikings, and the game script kind of went that way. Which brings us to our next fantasy performer here. You want to do this one?
NFL's leading rusher this week, Joe Mixon. 127 yards, 29 carries.
Yeah.
It did go into overtime. Let's be clear, though. It did go into overtime.
Oh, they bangled their way.
Yeah, they bangled their way into it. But Joe Mixon looked good in week one, you know. So I think he's... borderline RB1.
I think provided Burrow is healthy. Barring injuries, I think he's probably going to be the RB1 steal of the draft. I really do think that you could have got him, especially in 10-team leagues, man. I have one 10-team league where he's my RB2, and I'm feeling on top of the earth.
Yeah, you know? If you passed on one of the big receivers, like if they were off the board or you just went running.
Well, I didn't think he was going to be there at the turn, but he was. And I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah. Chicago side of the football, brutal loss to the Rams. They did not look good. Specifically, Andy Dalton did not look very good. Oh, one more thing on Burrow, as I'm thinking about how many times Andy Dalton was sacked. Burrow sacked 5 times last week. That's the one negative that I didn't like from the Bengals was 5 sacks. You got to protect him. They're going to have to protect him a little bit
Absolutely.
Better.
I totally agree with you here.
But back to red.
Yeah, there's no injuries to talk about here, which is great. Honestly, for most of the years that I've played fantasy football, which has been well over a decade now.
One of the healthiest week twos ever.
Yeah. We're heading really into a nice week two. Now, I hope that this doesn't prove to be a Reaper statement, but...
No, for sure.
Because that absolutely could be like week two last year where we had 7 ACLs. So let's wish that on no one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll finish with the Bears here. Not as much fantasy relevance. David Montgomery
really, really. Rams were the defense that allowed the fewest yards to running backs last year. Now, look, everything's based on last year at this point. So
maybe
the Rams defense is not as good, but any defense with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey on it is a good defense.
David Montgomery's an RB1.
Yeah, he's an RB1.
Especially if his last 6-game finish of last year was incredible.
I didn't like. Okay, so downside is Damian Williams is probably going to take some of his receptions. I don't think he's like a zero in the receptions column.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Damian Williams is that good. Like,
I think Williams is a clear handcuff.
See, I don't know what happens when Cohen comes back.
Well,
I guess for now.
I know, but we're in week two.
Yeah.
So honestly, guys, and we're gonna tell you this, like, you play to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weekly game. Too often, I see people that are like, oh, well, I'm going to wait. Like, you know, I take 2 losses. It's really hard to come back from 0-2.
Yeah.
Play to win your matchup that week.
Yeah. I definitely...
Think about the stashes and stuff like that when you're in the clear, you know?
Stash right now, Justin Fields. It's happening sooner rather than later. It could even happen this week, okay, is like what I'm getting at. Like,
yeah.
You know, he does score a touchdown rushing. He was 2-for-2 passing. I do think we're going to see some 2 quarterback system. I think you're going to see this from the Bears and for the 49ers. Like,
I really don't like that neighborhood. I really don't like that narrative.
Yeah.
Excuse me, neighborhood.
But
I don't like that 2 QB neighborhood.
Well, all I can say is Justin Fields is a boost for everyone on the Bears if he gets in there, especially if you're running, you know, that option sort of college-y stuff with him and Montgomery. You really like that as well.
For fantasy, I like that.
Yeah.
For real football, I don't like that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's stupid, and they shouldn't do that, and they should make them the starter.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's going to be some interesting sets.
I think another under-the-radar guy is Cole Kmet. I think he's clearly ahead of Jimmy Graham. Especially if Dalton remains the quarterback, he's kind of an interesting guy.
Dalton has always thrown to his tight ends.
Yeah,
even when we've seen him throw some trash tight ends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this guy made Tyler Eifert look good. So, you know.
Tyler Eifert was good when he was healthy.
But
the rest of the guys between...
Well, guess what? Cole Kmet is a tight end from Notre Dame, just like Tyler Eifert.
But how many guys between Tyler Eifert last time he played a decade ago?
I mean,
and now, how many guys caught balls from Andy Dalton in the tight end position?
A lot
of really bad tight ends.
Yeah. So he likes the tight end. So Cole Kmet, like, if you missed on tight end in, like, a 12-team league, you could do worse than Cole Kmet, is what I'm going to say.
For sure. And I think that one thing that I kind of want to, like, head back towards, at least on the Bears end of things, for Justin Fields, I think this could be a particularly good DFS play at your QB slot, depending on what they're going for. You're going to have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in cash games, you're running there, like, especially this week when we know what happens, he's probably going to be cheap as hell because he's not the starter, but he also, in a Taysom Hill kind of way last year,
mm-hmm.
he may score.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. Like,
yeah.
I think
hypothetically, let's say he gets the job at the half, you know, then he, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, you're spending all your fab.
He's
still there. I don't think he's available a ton of places. I mean, a lot of people were. I think in terms of the pecking order, I mean, outside of Lawrence, okay, who has a job, like you have Fields above Zach Wilson, even though he has a job. He's above Lance because you just don't know Yeah, I don't know what trade Lance
I don't trust Shanahan.
Yeah, that's...
You know I don't trust Shanahan. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, but, like, Justin Fields is right below Trevor Lawrence in terms of, like, keeper quarterbacks or guys you just... that can really turn your season.
It's an early NFL... It's an early NFL season, and all the toys still have their shine right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to move to the next game, and these are some... This is an interesting team. This is Nick's preseason pick to be the worst team in the league.
I changed that to the Jaguars after seeing...
I told you it was going to be the Jags!
Well,
we'll get to the Jags in a little bit.
Texans!
But we'll start with the Houston running backs. The Houston Texans at Cleveland, they're basically running a triple option.
I don't buy any of this. I don't buy any of this.
I feel like one of them was a direct snap to Ingram, and then he handed off to Lindsay. Like, what?
I don't trust anything that happened week one in Houston. I don't. It was against Jacksonville. Like, Jacksonville's a mess. We'll get to them. But, like, I'm not buying any of these performances. I'm not buying that Brandon Cooks is this reliable. I'm not buying that Tyrod Taylor's going for two touchdowns every week. Like, I don't think they're going to... I mean, I will say David Culley got his team ready to play, like, on a positive. Like,
nice audition for something later.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was kind of surprised when they hired David Culley with some of the names they were throwing around. But he had his team ready to play. I mean, most of the backs were under 3.5 yards a carry. So if you look at...
This game versus Jacksonville was just a classic situation of brutalizing the college coach.
Yeah, so I'm
just... This guy doesn't know what he's doing.
I think here this week against Cleveland, they're going to tee off on this group. Like, I don't have much trust after what they showed against Kansas City last week.
Let's move to Cleveland. They took Kansas City pretty tight last week, losing 33-29.
Baker, underwhelming.
My note here says they just don't know how to win.
Yeah, I mean...
Fantasy purposes, do we care? I don't care.
I mean, Nick Chubb might be the number one running back this year. He has that, I mean...
He definitely has that upside and potential. 15 for 83 yards, but two touchdowns.
Yeah.
And also caught two balls for 18 yards. Good sign for him.
He's not going to be a zero in the reception department either. It's not going to be all
He's not going to be a zero, but also Kareem Hunt's not going to go away.
Well, Kareem Hunt, what I've noticed them in their game plan when Chubb is healthy. I mean, Chubb gets
fast with Kareem.
Just at the end of quarters. It's really like it's the end of the half. It's the end of the fourth. Like, Nick Chubb is not out there. It's Kareem Hunt.
They definitely like Kareem Hunt in their, like, two-minute offense, too.
Yes, that is his role. He is a two-minute offense guy. Yep. He's really good in it.
He's the best one. He's good,
and he's
we saw this last year. I mean, this is such a typical Kareem Hunt line, right?
I mean, their whole offense.
Six
in the
carries team. For 33 yards and a touchdown, three catches for 28.
Yeah.
In a PPR league, you're like, yep, flex.
Yeah.
You know, like, these. Like, flex one, is that a thing?
You know? He's probably going to score a touchdown every other week. You know, he's going to have, like, eight touchdowns and a handful of rushing yards and a bunch of receptions, and that's going to be fine. Like, yeah, you know, I mean. It's especially if Chubb goes down again. Chubb is very injury prone. But
narrative last year on this was interesting because Chubb did get hurt and miss games, and we were all assuming that Kareem Hunt was just going to, like, blow up, and it kind of never happened.
It was a mixed bag. And
it kind of never happened.
They also had Dearness Johnson doing some work
too. They like his role that he's in, you know. So we're going to move past him to the receivers that we kind of have to cover here.
We mentioned
a lot to talk about. OBJ's hurt. We will talk about Landry's line.
It was a little misleading, to be honest with you. 5 for 71, he gets in the touchdown, a really close play at the goal line. Could have gone either way. He did get in. But a lot of his yardage came on a junk play at the end of the half. And that's part of fantasy, but don't count on 40 yards on a couple of lateral plays from Jarvis Landry to pad his line a little bit. This probably should have been four catches for 30 yards and a touchdown. And I don't think a touchdown is guaranteed any week. Especially the way they're using their tight ends. Like, you saw Harrison Bryant, you saw Njoku, you saw Hooper.
They actually have three good tight ends.
Yeah, they really do.
Which for fantasy is trash, but for NFL.
They also really like Anthony Schwartz. Like, that is another thing I noticed from watching the game. They are really enamored with Anthony Schwartz. Like, and he is the fastest, probably outside of Tyreek Hill, he's the fastest player in the NFL. He's just an interesting guy to know.
Yeah, just keep your name or keep his name in your mind. We're going to move on to the next game. This is the aforementioned Rams at the Colts, the beat-up Colts.
Rams looked impressive.
Yeah, they looked great. They opened their new stadium 34-14 over the Bears.
I mean, I don't even know.
People were throwing hands in the tunnels. It was a classic opener.
I don't even know what the... Like, after seeing them week one, and maybe this is a little bit of overreaction theater, but Matt Stafford is a professional quarterback. He is not Jared Goff. And I don't even know what the ceiling could be for Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods this year if everything were to break right in this offense.
I think the actual... And I'm going to go, like, kind of on a, I guess, hot take here. I think the hot take of the thing is... probably the third wide receiver might maybe be relevant. And I don't know if it's going to be Van Jefferson. They also signed DeSean Jackson, too. He's an aging guy.
He'll be hurt. Like, I'm just not...
Sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if he catches a touchdown this week. Like, it's just one of those weird situations where I've seen when Cooks was there, he would randomly go off. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be actually probably frustrating to own one of these wide receivers. If you stay the course... the end of the year result is going to be positive.
Stafford made it look like he had a boyfriend out there in Cooper Kupp, though. I will say that. But he definitely was pretty enamored with his slot man. As he should be. I mean, the guys that Matt Stafford has been really good with, guys like Golden Tate, even Danny Amendola, as he's made relevant. Like, yep. Matt Stafford loves the slot guy. So, I mean, this is good things if you're a Cooper Kupp owner. Robert Woods is going to be fine, you know.
I wouldn't freak out about Robert Woods.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to rank him today, I'd probably put Kupp ahead of Woods, but not by a lot. No. The other thing that was really curious to me that jumped out, Darrell Henderson played the third highest percentage of a team's snaps at running back in week one.
Wow.
I don't,
not a Sean McVay thing.
I do not think that will last. I think that's more about Sony Michel not being up to speed in the offense. Like, I think he's going to have a role. And they've openly talked about the fact that they have to limit Darrell Henderson's touches to keep him healthy. So I don't think going forward you're going to see this sort of snap share
no,
for him.
No, absolutely not. Sony Michel doesn't know the play.
This is the anomaly.
It's a really complicated offense.
Yeah, it is.
They ask a lot of their running backs,
There's a lot of blocking assignments. There's a lot of pass routes in this. It takes a while to absorb.
Also, Sony Michel, allegedly one of the more, how would I say this, analytical guys.
Yeah, he comes from a Patriot system.
He's got a good mind, so I think that he's going to catch up quicker. You know,
if anything were to happen to Henderson, the other name to know is Jake Funk, who's their third string, who they like. But I don't think you're going to see much unless there's an injury of him.
Colts, I said beat up Colts earlier. They've got some guys coming back. They had some Carson Wentz got nicked up in the preseason or off season. That's how he is.
Such a Colts performance. It just was.
They lose versus the Seahawks.
It's
going
to be so hard to figure out these receivers this year is the one thing I just I know. Zach Pascal, 2 touchdowns on 5 targets. You know,
Pittman, I don't know if you can buy that.
Yeah, I mean, they also had Mark Strachan out there as well. They had some... they're just going to rotate they're going to rotate receivers. That's what it is. It's the old Philadelphia adage from when, Frank Wright was there and stuff like that. I was much higher on Michael Pittman. I thought he was the one that could really had an opportunity with T.Y. Hilton going down with the neck injury.
Right.
And
he's on IR now.
Based on what I saw week one, it looks like it's going to be a frustrating situation to that none of these guys are really going to be the go-to guy in this. It's going to be a lot of Taylor and Hines catching the ball out of the backfield.
I agree with you there. I think Hines could be a good pickup bench stash in PPR league.
Gave him $6 million a season.
Yeah.
I think he's flex-worthy. I think he's kind of like borderline-ish Kareem Hunt. Maybe with not the same touchdown upside, but yardage and catches.
I don't think he has the same touchdown upside, but yeah, you're right. He a J.D. McKissick role.
Yeah. Who did not play at all this week, which is interesting.
That's very interesting. Yeah. We'll see how that goes with your can of beer throwing the ball. So Buffalo at Miami, your Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, not real thrilled about starting.
Let you talk for a minute right now.
Not real thrilled about
watch
starting.
Watch the score of the game.
Yeah. Dude, I hope they, similar problems to last year, still can't run the football. I know Devin Singletary's line doesn't look terrible, 11 for 72, but...
Daniel Jones with the rushing touchdown to start the game.
That helps no one. Yeah. That helps no one.
For all 0.04% of us.
Yeah. 27 combined targets for Diggs and Beasley. People are going to get wise to this if they don't I mean, the defense that Pittsburgh ran can... Here's what I'll say. Pittsburgh's defense is really good. It was really good last year. There's not many guys who can drop... Teams that can drop in a man coverage against the Bills like that, that often, and pressure with just, you know, TJ Watt. So, I don't think everyone's like, oh, the blueprint's out there. I don't think so, because not many people can do what Pittsburgh did.
I mean, Al threw the ball 51 times.
Yeah.
I put in my notes here, is like, what is this air raid-esque offense? I know they're going to rush more than this at some point, even with their trash running backs.
I honestly don't know.
Let's talk about your trash running backs. Why do they... Like, what's the issue, man? Moss was a scratch?
I think this was a message sent to Moss. He missed a lot of training camp, just being kind of nicked up and not wanting to be out there. And I think it was a motivation thing. I mean, Matt Breida had a brutal... They tried to run a pitch on 4th-and-1 from, like, the 50-yard line with Matt Breida, and it just went terrible. It was an awful, awful play in this game. Matt Breida is not the answer. I mean, he's a kick returner, like, to me, like, personally. But Isaiah McKenzie is way better than him, like, you know.
Is he hurt still?
No, he's good.
Okay, nice.
Gabriel Davis did show this is another unfortunate thing. I Emmanuel Sanders is definitely in front of Gabriel Davis on the depth chart, which is really disappointing for anyone who invests in him, although Davis does catch a touchdown, you know, like last week. But he also shows up in the injury report this week, questionable with an ankle injury. So, have to wait and see on Gabriel Davis. But you would have liked it better if Davis... We know what Emmanuel Sanders is. He also had a huge drop on a third down in this one.
I don't mean the guy any ill will, because I'm actually a big Davis fan. I think he I'd love to see him with more consistent opportunity. But I'd actually just prefer if one of them would get hurt.
Yeah, I mean...
So that the other one just has... By necessity.
Everyone's clearly behind Diggs and Beasley, though. Like, if you thought that Sanders was going to be like, it's Diggs and Beasley are the guys you want to own. And I'm a little leery of owning Cole Beasley this year. One of the things, as we talk about COVID procedure this year, is...
I really don't want to, like, get deep into his outspokenness.
Not about the outspokenness, but any player who is unvaccinated, who is... Any sort of contact is out for 5 days. That is the downside of, like, a Cole Beasley. Like, and you might see it rear its head during the season.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, like, especially be aware because of that.
The trend seems to be we've become aware of them on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which means that he misses that week
for just DeAndre Hopkins is another one who's been pretty outspoken. You just have to know that this might be looming. You really don't know the status of these guys.
Let's talk about the Dolphins quickly because we're taking too long for this. The old Alabama quarterback ball here.
Yeah, last week the Dolphins and the Pats met. It was a very unexciting football game.
Tagovailoa versus Mac Jones. It was 17-16.
Yeah, it was boring. Probably the highlight was Waddle's performance.
We knew he was good.
All of these Chase, Waddle, Smith, all these guys who scored week one, I'm still they're flex-ish to me. They're not...
It's one week,
yeah. That's kind of what I would say there. And it's 1 week of the Patriots without Stephon Gilmore, too. So, you know.
I remember, like, 2 years ago, 2019, Sony Michel had, like, 170 yards or something crazy, 140 yards. Week one, and everyone just went all in on him. Mm-hmm. It's week one, guys. That year, he didn't even finish as the starter. It was a really bad year for him. Like, it just... Just don't overrate anything.
Yeah.
Really, there's not a ton of... Honestly, the fantasy points is like that you're going to get from the Dolphins is just all trash.
Yeah. Mike Gesicki is borderline droppable to me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Dalton Smythe, I think, is the backup tight end there. Played like 70% of the snaps. Like, I don't know what that was all about.
You've also got three running backs that are not good.
Miles Gaskin's fine. The other two I'm not interested in, and frankly, Malcolm Brown is the most annoying guy to have on any squad that you own a running back on, is what I've decided.
Fantasy Leech.
Yeah, he's the worst. Like
Fantasy Leech.
Especially with how good Salvon Ahmed
was. He does nothing but just suck away just enough.
Snaps.
Just enough that like you don't notice it, but you end up dying.
His line is always 5 carries, 19 yards. Like, what's the point?
So, we talked about the Patriots earlier. They're going to be playing the Jets this week. We'll touch on the Patriots first. Mac Jones did not pull the victory off, which is kind of, when's the last time they went 0-1?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think last year, probably.
Yeah.
But Mac Jones is really unexciting to me. His longest pass attempt was 24 yards. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. He's a game manager to me. I don't think he's, like, the second coming of Brady. as a lot of people think he is. Nelson Aguilar, though, is probably going to have some value in this offense, is what I've extracted from last week's performance. Like, he's probably going to get 85 catches if he stays healthy. Jacoby Myers is definitely behind him and does not fit Mac Jones's skill set that he did with Cam.
Yeah, and then they have the twin tight ends,
which negate each other is really the way.
Honestly, I'm looking at this now, and I'm like, 3 targets, 3 for 31, 5 targets, 5 for 42. I can't guess which one of the two has that line. Yeah.
I mean, Smith ultimately came out more targets, a little bit better line, but
it doesn't matter though. I think that you could switch them every week.
And they're also going to play this ball control game in New Orleans, where like. New England, sorry, not New Orleans. Yeah, they're just gonna run the football a lot.
We saw 23 carries from Damian Harris, but he also fumbled.
No, well, actually, the guy who really fumbled away his opportunity was Ramondre Stevenson, fumbled on his first carry. So we'll see if they have some faith if they go back to him this week. But that was not a good look for somebody who was really, really like the best looking running back in the preseason.
For sure. That's really all we have to say about the Patriots. We're going to move on to the Jets that are probably still a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Zach Wilson looked better in the second half of the game against Carolina, but again, it's a game against Carolina. This was one of the worst defenses last season, like, period. They didn't do much to inspire. Corey Davis has borderline top 15 upside because he's going to see 120 targets, provided he stays healthy.
That's the first thing I'm probably going to take a strong disagreement with you. Mm-hmm. On the pod, honestly, that's ridiculous. Corey Davis is not that good.
There's just nobody else. Like, that's what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter. There was no one else at the Jets with Jamison Crowder when he was in his, like, he's sick right now, but
he's actually good. He's back on the roster. Okay. He's out of his COVID.
It doesn't matter. The thing is, it doesn't matter if there's no one else if the team is that bad.
Yeah, I think Corey Davis.
We've seen this with Devontae Parker in Miami.
I think Corey Davis is going to see a lot. I'm not saying he's going to get 120 catches. I'm saying they're going to throw him 120 balls. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm getting at.
Probably throw him 200.
Now you think about it. Like, I'm not saying that, like, but on volume alone, Corey Davis could easily waltz his way into a top 15 season because he's just the only one that they have. I mean, he's already got 2 touchdowns, 7 targets, 5 for 97. Like, he's going to be a target monster this year. They don't have anyone else. And honestly, if you own a Jets running back, cut them. Ty Johnson, I don't think you have to own Michael Carter. Like, really?
I'm totally with you on cutting them.
I have Michael Carter on a taxi squad in a dynasty where I'm like, don't plan to activate him all year. And they combined for 45 yards, Ty Johnson, Coleman. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, and Mekhi Becton went down as well. Their best tackle. Like, they're, you know, this is not going well for the Jets. Don't expect a lot of fantasy relevance outside of Corey Davis.
We're going to move on to San Francisco at Philadelphia. Niners coming off a win, 1-0. They absolutely demolished the Lions. 41-33.
I mean, they also give up 33 points to the Lions. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's a little troublesome if you're thinking about who's the class of the NFC West right now. It's like, you look at that, you're like, what?
NFC West is strong. Period.
Yeah, I think the 49ers are a little bit behind.
I'm sure there's some pretenders right now.
Yeah.
But we'll find out.
I mean, I think Seattle's the best team in the division. Well, I don't know. Is it Seattle or is it Los Angeles?
The Cardinals are not bad.
Yeah, Cardinals are not bad. That's what I'm saying. The 49ers are the worst. I can tell you that.
Kyler Murray has something to say about
Kyler
that.
Yeah, Kyler, for sure.
He definitely has his piece to make this year. You know?
Their defense looked pretty good, too, I mean, anyway, 49ers, weird game. They score 41 points and nobody's line other than Debo Samuel stands out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's a weird thing about this. It's like George Kittle didn't go off. Garoppolo has one passing touchdown.
We saw Trey Lance.
we did see Trey Lance who passed for a passed for a touchdown.
It was a like little RPO type deal.
Yeah, it was Tim Tebow-esque.
Yeah.
It was, they didn't ask him to throw the ball far.
It was way better than a Tim Tebow pass. I'll give him that. It was a true RPO.
Trey Lance is further away from playing than Justin Fields is for sure. I think that's
I want, if they switch places, I don't know if the same one would be true though.
Yeah. It's about, I don't know. Jimmy Garoppolo is not good either. I mean, 17-25, 314 yards and a touchdown. Like, that's a weird line. You know, yeah. 300 yards on 17 passes.
Yeah, that probably happens when Debo has 12 targets,
yeah.
9 catches and 189 yards and a TD. Jeez, tuck your chains, dude.
Yeah, right.
Debo coming.
Well, Brandon Ayuk, admittedly, if you read the tea leaves from some of the San Francisco beat writers, there was a lot of indication that the game that Brandon Ayuk had was coming, because he had not been practicing. Kyle Shanahan was kind of all over him for not stepping up and, you know, wanting to be out on the practice field. Frankly, he didn't even play week one of last year, so he got more out of him this year than he got out of him last year week one.
For sure.
You know.
Yeah. Basically, he looked like a little bee.
Yeah.
Shanahan said, stop being that.
Yeah. I mean, he was... Kyle Shanahan sent a message to the team in week one.
Shanahan is a crazy person.
Well, he's old school. He's from his dad's ilk. He's all cut right. From the same cloth. And he sent a message to Trey Sermon. A lot of the beat writers said, Trey Sermon does not want to run block, or to pass block. And... he was not active. So when Trey Sermon, I mean, he will be active this week.
He absolutely will be, because Raheem Mostert only lasted 2 carries.
Yeah, I mean, his career's over. Sorry.
Yeah,
one of the funniest moments on this show was just talking about Ricky Mostert.
Yeah.
And we love him, but it's over. Like, he's done. He was supposed to be out 8 weeks. They announced him and his wife that he is missing the entire season. So, where this job goes has been a big topic of debate between me and my partner here. And the guy who was the beneficiary last week was Eli Mitchell. 19 carries, 140 yards, and a touchdown.
Big line.
Huge line. We were talking about how much fab you would spend on him. And I said I would be okay with, you know, if you spent 65% of your budget, like, this is the type of player. It's the opportunity.
And my argument against it was, it's been almost half of a decade since a Shanahan running back has finished in the top 10 in PPR scoring. And that was the last year that happened, was the Devontae Freeman years, when he was that Devontae Freeman, who's now non-existent. But the thing is, I really think that Shanahan prefers to run 3 backs. And in the last 3 or 4 years, you would have to agree that that's been the case.
I think he goes to his most productive back. Like, regularly, last year was Jeff Wilson down the stretch. Like, Jeff Wilson was just incredibly productive. Also, Jeff Wilson, he tore a meniscus. They thought initially he might miss the season. Now they're talking about
meniscus is the best thing to mess up in your knee. It's easy.
They're talking potential November return for him. So it's a ways off, though. Like,
it's a ways off, but a good fantasy playoff, maybe.
So he's somebody to know. Like, if you got a lot of IR spots, good stash. I think for the foreseeable future, it's probably Mitchell. Like, I have him above Sermon. Like, would I drop Sermon to get Mitchell? No, I would not do that. But
they signed Kerryon Johnson this week.
They signed Kerryon Johnson and Trenton Cannon, right?
Yes. And Trenton Cannon, who the Ravens cut.
Yeah.
To sign Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, but Trenton Cannon's a special teams player. You're not drafting him to be.
Absolutely.
But... again, Jermichael Hasty is there. He had a good game, I think, last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think probably this week you're going to see a big, heavy workload from Mitchell. I will say this. The upside of Mitchell is that he takes his job, runs with it, and he gives you 16 weeks.
That was your argument, was that, you know, yes, he does like to run a lot of backs. But this could also be the once every 4 or 5 years that you get an Arian Foster or
Alfred Morris,
yes.
A Devontae Freeman.
Or even going back to his dad, we can go all the way back to Terrell Davis.
Landis Gary, Tatum Bell, Mike Bell. Like,
every 3 to 6 years, you're going to hit on one of these gems,
and
is what we're saying.
If I'm in a keeper league, Mitchell is somebody I'm actively seeking out. You know what I mean? To try to get on my roster for whatever.
I personally think that's going to be this is going to be a Shanahan running back by committee year, because I just don't think any of these guys are that good.
I'm a little more on the leaning Mitchell heavy side right now.
Elijah Mitchell was a wide receiver coming out of high school.
Yeah.
Two-star kid. Like, this is a no-name. We'll see. If anyone can do it, Shanahan can.
Here's the question a lot of people are wanting. How many carries does Trey Sermon get this week? Five? Seven?
I don't know if it matters this week. I think what matters is week five.
I'm just saying, this week.
Like, I know.
If you had to pick.
I think Mitchell's probably going to lead again this week.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I think Sermon has six and a, over under 6.5.
I would say under.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like right at six. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of where I'm looking.
And also, I do think that Kerryon Johnson is lurking.
Possibly.
No, that seems like a tie that Shanahan would bring. Hey. Remember when Raheem Mostert was in his prime?
Yeah.
And remember how they used Jeff Wilson then?
Yeah.
I think that would kind of be his role. We're going to bring you in when the play is stopped and I can get you on the field, and we're going to put you in inside the red zone.
I don't think Kerryon Johnson has anything left. Is my
I think the end zone blocking seems I could drive a truck through some of those holes, so we'll see.
You could. That is the benefit of being, that is why you're all gaga over a San Francisco running back who has a job. Like,
right,
that is it.
Right.
I mean, Philly dismantled the Falcons, who they're playing this week. Jalen Hurts.
Wow. Yeah.
Really good line. I mean, I was at this game, and I will tell you, he does not throw a pretty ball. Man, no. Like there are some quacking.
I've seen him play 4 or 5 times now.
Yeah, so. He I saw him in college as well, and he does not throw a very pretty ball. I mean, he also stared down who he was throwing to a lot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Devontae Smith ran himself open a lot, and I don't think they're going to do that. I think the Eagles are better than they think we are. They, like, we're not giving them enough credit. They're an improved football team. Under Nick Sirianni.
But also, I think that the Falcons are that bad.
They're bad. They're that bad is 100% too. I'm really nervous I'm a Miles Sanders owner too if I don't have Kenneth Gainwell is what I will say as well. Like, if you did not draft Kenneth Gainwell.
We've seen a lot of headaches in Philadelphia over the years.
Yeah, Kenneth Gainwell's going to be. He's ahead of Boston Scott. Like, Boston Scott's
sure.
Droppable. Like, you know.
That's cool. I don't like the name the Slim Reaper for Devontae Smith.
Yeah,
I feel like
that's,
it takes
that's
away
scary.
From Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Guys are hell of an athlete, so
I don't have anything for Devontae Smith yet. Flash. I don't know. He's very fast.
8 targets, 6 for 71 and a touchdown. The Falcons are so bad.
Yeah. I think Dallas Goedert is probably the clear tight end here. You saw Ertz and Goddard were on this field a lot at the same time. Ertz completely unwilling to block, though. I will tell you that from watching him out there. He is just like, I'm not blocking anyone. He gets 58% of the snaps, 73% go to Goddard.
What's his deal with the administration there? It seems like it's a really big vendetta.
Zach Ertz has just lost his stuff. He's just gotten old. Do you know what I mean? Like, when he came into prominence, he was already like a 26-year-old, 27-year-old
tight end. The thing is, like, I feel like he's really dragged it out, like, trying to get...
They can't get rid of him. His money
right.
is too much. And,
right.
You know, Buffalo wouldn't take it. Like, a lot of people speculated Buffalo cleared up some cap space converting someone's money to a signing bonus this
right.
week, and everyone's like, oh, is this a move for Ertz?
This is a standard.
But Ertz is also hurt. He has a hamstring, and Dallas Goedert targeted 3 times in the red zone, does catch one last week. He is their best red zone option, because Miles Sanders is not a goal line back, Kenneth Gainwell is not a goal line back, and Devontae Smith is not physically imposing around
the goal line. The goal line back is Jalen.
Yeah, well,
again, you know that's what's going to happen, dude.
And
go ahead and call it now.
And
say
his,
it.
And his,
acknowledge it.
His scramble drill was to Goddard and pretty much every time
they
got down there. You know,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So I think
But you know that's what's going to happen. He's going to call his own number.
Goddard could find his way into like a top 8 fantasy tight end season this year, I think. Like, I'm not going like top 5, but I'm saying like...
In that position, absolutely.
Top 8 is fair.
And that's all we're going to say about them right now, because it was such a beatdown. Let's be careful what we take
yeah.
away of this. We're going to move on to the Raiders at Pittsburgh. The Raiders.
The Raiders.
Steelers.
I mean.
Really sucked the life out of your Bills last week. We're gonna do the Raiders first. What a thrilling victory.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I say that. I mean.
In the beginning of the year, I do make it through every Monday Night Football in my later years.
You know what we didn't have this year? Was that weird West Coast game.
Yeah, the double.
The double. Where was the double this year?
I'm selfish. I liked the double stack because it meant I could watch the first game in completion. And then I usually went to bed at the house.
Nobody wanted to see the Broncos and the Chargers play.
Right.
10:30 at night.
No, I watched the first half and then But this one I had to stay up for. It was a hell of a game.
Yeah, it was crazy. Played their butts off. I'm a little concerned about Josh Jacobs. Already nicked up toe and ankle. He did not look right. And his efficiency has always been the problem. He bails you out with two touchdowns. But what we've seen over the last about like season and a half has just been his efficiency for things. He's well below 3.5 yards per carry. I don't think he's going to have the receiving upside that he did. Like Kenyon Drake caught 5 balls for 59 yards. He's a better receiver than Josh Jacobs.
Drake is going to be a PPR beast this year. He's going to be Kareem Hunt.
He's one of the more valuable handcuffs you can own right now because Jacobs already banged up. He has a role, clearly. And, like, if I could get him on the low right now, I would be trying to.
But Kenyon Drake also might be a guy that we see exactly like Kareem Hunt when the Nick Chubb goes down. Mm-hmm. But Grudy just goes to the couch, goes to his local Hooters. Picks up a Kerryon Johnson type. You know? Like, I totally think that would be something
Alec
he would do.
Ingold finds his way into, like, you know what I mean?
Where did you come from?
Yeah, like,
Marshawn Lynch, come off the couch.
Right, I mean,
something crazy.
You know what's crazy? It was 19 targets for Darren Waller in this.
Absurd!
They're going to get him killed, okay, if they try to throw him the ball 19 times. They need to find a second option. I think the one I like the best is Bryan Edwards. Like,
well, it ain't Henry Ruggs.
It definitely is not Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs is soft. Like, I mean, if he can't run behind somebody, and he could not run behind Marlon Humphrey on Monday night, like, it's going to be a problem. But Bryan Edwards looks like he does some dirty work. Look, he started out the game slow, but in overtime played a huge role in getting them down into the red zone.
He caught some big balls, so...
Could have had a touchdown, too. And they raved about him in camp. He's a watch list if you want to pick him up this week. I would rather have him than Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, for sure. Steelers, we didn't see what we wanted to see.
Yeah, Najee Harris, probably. I know there were a lot of disappointments.
Better days ahead. I'm confident.
But I'm going to say for week one, playing the highest percentage of running back snaps in week one, 100%. There's nobody else out there.
No, yeah.
And he turned it into 16 for 45 and 1 for 4 against Buffalo, who was an atrocious run defense last year. You know what I mean? Like, I think, to me, he was my most disappointing player from week one. Like, because some of the other guys who disappointed, like Pittman or somebody like that.
Saquon, you're like,
I
saw this coming, you know.
This I did not see coming.
No.
Like, you know,
I thought for sure he was getting in the end zone, dude.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was really expecting to see that highlight.
Yeah, it was a bad, bad performance by Najee Harris in his first NFL game. And hopefully better days are ahead.
Hey, I really think that if I'm going to cut anyone some slack, this guy played 100% of the snaps as a rookie in his first game in the NFL. I'm sorry if I didn't score a touchdown.
On the road in Buffalo.
I'm sorry I didn't score a touchdown. I'll try harder.
I'll say this. I don't know how good the Pittsburgh offensive line is. This is one of the one thing that was lurking with Najee Harris and really the Steelers as a whole was always that the offensive line is really not what it has been in for multiple years. Deontay Johnson dominates the targets here, as you'd expect. Juju Smith-Schuster is what he is.
Let's be clear. Deontay Johnson is the wide receiver one in this
back.
His thing is injuries. You worry about injuries with him.
He's better Corey Davis to me. He's going to get 115, 120 targets, provided he's healthy. And
which he hasn't proven to be.
He can give you wide receiver one numbers if he finds his way into that.
Yeah.
But Smith-Schuster, he's just not getting open. Like, it's just all this short stuff. He's very frustrating to me right now.
His depth of target last year was about 8 yards.
Yeah,
this first game was about 12 yards, and people are taking that as a positive sign.
I don't think so. It's just not the same Juju Smith-Schuster.
Why would you throw deep to Juju when you have Deontay and Chase Claypool?
I would rather have, if I could trade Smith-Schuster for Claypool right now, I would.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely would do
that. We'll move on to New Orleans at Carolina in an NFC South matchup. This is going to be a tough one to call for fantasy purposes. The Saints absolutely dominated the Packers 38-3.
Yeah, 5 touchdowns for Jameis Winston on 154 passing yards.
How?
It's the outlier of all outliers. Like,
yeah, Aaron Rodgers played like
poop. Yeah, he.
He played like a guy
that we'll get to the Packers.
Yeah. He played like a guy that hadn't practiced all summer.
He also looked like a drunk hobo.
Yeah.
Apparently Aaron Rodgers though is like 0-14 in Florida. Did you know that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He has like never won in the state or like has one win in the state of Florida in his entire NFL career. It's like something absurd. Saints are like, we're going to Florida.
Something about those Florida women just
hanging out with Groody and Hooters.
Exactly.
Hey Aaron, I'm on a plane.
I'm headed your way.
I think I can be back in Las Vegas. I got the Davis's private jet. Get some wings and some beer. Alvin Kamara was really good. I do think one of the other priority handcuffs is Tony Jones. Like, if they're going to give Alvin Kamara 20 touches a game on the ground, Tony Jones needs to be owned everywhere.
They cut Latavius Murray, so yeah. This guy's rocketed into like fantasy relevance. For the wide receivers here, because of the 154 passing yards, I really don't think there's any takeaways.
Yeah, Marquez Callaway.
We have no idea. There was one very pretty deep ball to Harris, who we've been calling to get more involved for since, what, 2 seasons ago?
Yeah, he's a kick returner. He's a gadget player. He's like Isaiah McKenzie.
He's really fast.
He can...
Tavon Austin.
Impossible to predict. Like, yeah. Probably going to have 3 or 4 touchdowns this year. The guy who interests me is Juwan Johnson, especially if you're in a Yahoo league, because he's eligible at tight end and wide receiver. He's
sort of a tight end.
Yeah, he's a tweener. How do the Saints get all these stupid designations in fantasy football? Like, they got Taysom Hill as a half quarterback, half tight. Like, are you Marcus Colston?
I don't
Colston,
know what they do.
I remember Marcus Colston's rookie year. He was a tight end / wide receiver. Juwan Johnson, though, he made 2 great snaps in the end zone, showed some big playability, really raw, super, I mean, we're talking raw, like, basketball player raw.
I think their other tight end, too, Tobin or whatever.
Adam Troutman, he actually led the team in targets.
That's why I picked him up in a desperation play, and I did that because I'm like, man, follow the targets. And I think that maybe better days ahead, I really don't, the way that they dominated the Packers is hard to take away.
I don't think
this is going to be a shootout.
Yeah, Panthers are a good matchup this week. So if you want to roll the dice on a Saint, this would be the way. This would be the week to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to start my extra receivers in both of these games that I can. And that brings me to one of my favorite stash receivers, which is Terrace Marshall on the Carolina Panthers. We'll start with them. They're 1-0. They just they picked up the win in versus Jets in the Darnold revenge game.
Yeah. Robbie Anderson catches a touchdown, beautiful ball. DJ Moore leads the team in targets.
As expected.
Yeah. It was nice to see Darnold. For all the hype on DJ Moore, he came out and delivered a good week 1 performance is what I would say.
Hey, it was good to see McCaffrey playing
Darnold,
football again, dude. 187 total yards on 30 touches. That's what he does, dude.
If there is a guy who can handle 30 touches a game, it's him. Like, you know what I mean?
He's going to hit you in 3 to 4 different ways.
Yeah, he's going to hurt you with the ball in his hands. I mean, he had 20 fantasy points and did not score a touchdown. You know what I mean? Like, he's really, really good. By far, the running back 1. CMC is back. Any questions? The other positive thing, even though it was against the Jets, Darnold only sacked once. One of the biggest problems with it when he was in New York was how he did under pressure. They at least protected him for 1 game. New Orleans will challenge him, though.
Sure. That's a nasty defensive front. They're going to come after him.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I think in a 2-quarterback league, Sam Darnold's an interesting guy. I mean, he's still only 24 years old, too.
Right. We'll talk about Denver and Jacksonville now. We kind of touched on Jacksonville first. Normally, I go with the visiting team. We're going to go to Jacksonville, though, to start because we kind of have felt we've let our feelings be known about them. From earlier, they lose to the Texans somehow, really in embarrassing fashion. It's 37-21, and it wasn't particularly that close.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence's first regular season loss ever.
What? Yep. Is that a real fact?
Yeah, high school, college, never lost in the regular season. First
what?
Time ever. Yep, that is his first regular season loss.
Welcome to the NFL, boy.
Yeah, welcome to Urban Meyer's NFL.
You're a little boy now.
Yeah, dude, this is a... worse on this show. This is a poop show. This is a poop show with Urban Meyer.
This is a man's league, dude.
The downside of what's going on with Urban Meyer right now is he leaves a note like Bobby Petrino did to the Falcons at week 10 and says, I'm off to USC.
I think that's a little overblown.
It's the worst case scenario.
Right.
Would it shock you?
No, not at all. I can totally see this happening.
Yeah, because they're linking into that USC job pretty hard right now, and everyone kind of feels this was just a step away from the mess he left at Ohio State.
I think he would also probably be successful at USC.
Probably some successful at Texas if we wait a couple years here.
This guy's a piece of crap. He's a piece of crap.
He really
needs to get the F
He's a loose
out.
Cannon. Apparently, he's tried to take over all of the position groups at practices. He's put his staff on notice that if they don't improve, they will all be fired. I mean, it seems like a totally hostile work environment to be anywhere around Urban Meyer right now in the NFL. The guy who really,
for fantasy relevance, the biggest... I guess, what do you want to call this, a funeral?
I don't know. Poor James Robinson.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say is, like, Carlos Hyde gets 9 carries and James Robinson has 8 total touches. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, really? Really?
Yeah, Carlos Hyde is held together.
Did Urban even watch tape of James Robinson?
No, he just gave his boy the carries. Like,
did you look at where somebody was drafted and we're like, nope. Nope.
Literally gave... This guy, Carlos Hyde, is held together with paper clips and chewing gum. Like, this is just such an irresponsible decision.
Yeah, it's so, like...
It is what it is.
Hopefully Shad Khan goes to him and says, you're going to run the ball with James Robinson 15 times next week.
Per game.
Yeah, like...
Trevor Lawrence, 3 touchdowns, also 3 picks.
Yeah, I mean, growing pains. I think he's going to be fine. But
I think the kid's going to be good if this coach will get out.
Yeah, I mean, he's not working with a lot with this staff. Like, let me tell you that. And DJ Chark was criminally...
This sounds like Darnold 2.0.
I will say this. I think DJ Chark is one of those guys that was criminally underdrafted this year. Especially because he's always seemingly hurt and plays when it comes to Sunday. He's very Julio Jones-esque in that regard. That, like, he never practices. He never does anything in the preseason.
You love the target share here.
12.
Yeah.
But he only catches 3.
I know. So I like Laviska Shenault. And the reason I like him is because I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be checking down a lot.
Yeah. Chenault's touchdowns for me are... That's where I just don't see him excelling. Is like... And sometimes his touches are going to be so manufactured with, like, the rushes and
little
stuff.
Gadgets.
Yeah, that, like, we're going to be like, all right, we're going to go with somebody else, like, because we...
That sounds exactly like something that Urban Meyer would
do. Yeah, it is, totally. In terms of the Denver side of the ball, Courtland Sutton, hopefully better days ahead. A little bit of a disappointing game.
Courtland Sutton, as you know, I'm really high on Courtland Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
As were you. You snaked him right for me in a draft.
Give it 2 weeks.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, this guy is very talented. He's not all the way back yet.
Yeah. With the injury to Judy, he'd have a really nice game here against the Jaguars, even if he's not 100%.
The fantasy headline heading into this was Javonte Williams versus Melvin Gordon.
It's Melvin Gordon right now.
It's Melvin Gordon, but let's look at the line. 11 for 101 and a touchdown. Nice, Melvin Gordon. Williams, 14 for 45. Oh, you suck. Hold on, my friend. Melvin Gordon, a 71-yard TD. You take that away...
Yeah.
11 for 30.
Yeah, he was only 3 yards per carry. Although, Javonte Williams, not much better. 3.2 yards per carry on 14 carries. And most of that was in garbage time.
So, I'm going to say this right now on the show. Start, if you have one or both,
mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable starting them both.
Against the Jaguars,
this week specifically, I think they're going to get up big. I think they're going to be running a lot. And I think they're going to, specifically, both of those guys are going to ball out.
Yeah, Jags can't stop.
And if I have both, and I do have both in one league, I'm probably going to put one in my flex.
Interesting.
Risky.
I don't think I would go. I'm still starting Melvin Gordon over Javonte Williams.
I have OBJ in that league that was normally in my flex. So that's weird.
Yeah. You're a little thin.
Mm-hmm.
4:15 games. Minnesota at Arizona. Minnesota, one of the more disappointing performances, especially Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen catches both the touchdowns. 9 targets, 5 for 71.
Jefferson did it on the deep ball last year, man, and it was awesome, dude.
Yeah.
And he was awesome last year, you know.
But I do think that Thielen is going to be trusted more than
Here's the thing that's looming for Minnesota that I want to keep in mind as we go through the season. Is Kirk Cousins is in his walk year. He signed that huge money deal, and this is it. Like, this is the last year of that contract. Will they go to Kellen Mond at some point if they are non-competitive? You know?
Yeah, like, and then on the other hand, the other side of the...
It's contract year for Cousins.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he going to ball out the last six games and be like, I'm fucking good?
I don't know.
Give me another deal, you know?
They obviously drafted another quarterback, and that always gives him pause, you know what I mean? And it, but it is Kellen Mond that they drafted, so you're like, eh, all right.
Yeah, I think that there's a chance that we see a little bit of a confusion from him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what, if he knows what he wants to do yet.
Yeah. It's definitely, I don't think the Vikings are going to give him the money that they gave him. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't think he's going to be a top 10 paid quarterback.
No, I think, would it be so bittersweet if he just went back to Washington?
I mean, for
next year?
I just don't know that the Vikings are going to be that good.
But wouldn't that be so NFL?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be so NFL?
I could see like Houston, something like that.
Something, somewhere to stabilize a sinking ship for a little while.
Yeah.
Oh man, this has been a sad one. All right.
Yeah.
Honestly, let's get to the positives here. Dalvin Cook is a beast.
No.
It wasn't a great line, but we love him.
Yeah, for sure.
We like Thielen. We like Jefferson. This is going to be a good offseason fantasy. Don't need to talk about anyone else. We're going to move to the Cardinals. They're 1-0. They beat the Braves off the Titans 38-13. How many times this year are we going to say Murray to Hopkins?
More than last year, but less than 12.
Okay. I think 11 is a strong number.
DeAndre Hopkins is always one of those weird guys that, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up with, like, 9. You know what I mean? Like, he just...
Did he get hurt last year?
No, not really. Just a lot of chemistry, you know, not a lot of training camp and
so
stuff.
Here's what I'll say, and this is why I like him in fantasy. Kyler Murray is the most selfish quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I love him for fantasy for that. But, like, he legitimately, a lot of times, it's like, if I think I can run it and there's an open guy, mm-hmm. I prefer to run. And I'm like, I don't know how long that's going
to
last.
He also dumps off to Chase Edmonds a lot.
Right.
Sometimes his first read is not even, like, down the field.
It's like, what are you doing? Chase Edmonds just running people over. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. He isn't, and there's a lot of mouths to feed. I think, you know, Kirk had the nice first game. I'm not buying that, by the way. I'm not buying into Christian Kirk 2 touchdowns. AJ Green is there. They didn't pay him not to use him. And they also have Rondale Moore, who, you know,
by all means, might be his second best receiver.
Yeah.
That's the thing out of camp, was he might be better than anyone else other than Hopkins.
It's going to be a fun offense to own. Like I said, I own some Edmonds. Like, you know,
I don't have any shares of this offense anywhere. I've tried to get them in any chance I can, but it is what it is.
I don't like James Conner. I didn't like what James Conner did last week.
Oh, he was one that I faded, and I had opportunities to draft him.
Yeah, he was one that was criminally overdrafted, but he has a role. Like, don't get me wrong. Chase Edmonds was clearly better in every way. Rushing, receiving, everything.
Chase Edmonds is the better back. I think they know that, so I really don't think... I think that's a non-story.
Yeah, like, I wish Chase Edmonds had this job all to himself, and he will not all season as long as James Conner is healthy.
We'll move on to my Atlanta Falcons. Ooh. At the Bucks. This is probably going to be another beat bunt. This is going to be another body. Falcons are 0-1. They were destroyed at home by a rookie, essentially, quarterback, 32-6. This seems bad. Water's wet.
Cordell Patterson, any interest?
He does have the RB/ wide receiver.
I heard some idiot on ESPN Fantasy, who's bald, talk about how he thought, hey, Cordell Patterson, he's 6'2". He's 230 pounds. He looks a lot like Derrick Henry. This was fantasy analysis from a bald guy on ESPN who I think
That's one of his more clown takes. I haven't heard that one.
And he loves Cordero Patterson. Has for multiple years. Has fallen on the knife many a time for Cordero Patterson. Although I'll be honest with you, he looked better than Mike Davis last week. I hate to, you know, like, if I'm going to say it, I'm going to say Cordero Patterson looked better than Mike Davis. Mike Davis is, You know, it's like the adage in the NFL in Major League Baseball. If the guy was good enough, he wouldn't be in the bullpen. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if the guy was good enough, there are a lot of quality relievers in the major leagues. If they were that good, they would be the closer.
Exactly.
And that is what Mike Davis is. He is a solid, not spectacular, middle reliever. And I think the Falcons are going to realize that very quick. Kyle Pitts looks lost. Arthur Smith made a curious decision not to play any of the starters, and it really showed in week one. So, I mean, they can only go up from here is all I can say.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know.
Kyle Pitts wasn't even on the field in the red zone.
Yeah, it's...
It was trash. I really don't like
Hurst played 60% of the snaps, too. And
I know.
Yeah, I mean...
I really, really don't like Arthur
Russell
Smith.
Gage, zero targets.
Oh, yeah. Fancy. Oh, he's going to take Calvin Ridley's role. No. That's not what happened.
Calvin Ridley's
That's really not how it works. It's not a fucking car. You don't swap parts out. Like,
yeah, no, it's not.
God, that was one of the dumbest takes of the offseason.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the Bucks. They are 1-0. They look. They really do look primed to win the division and probably attempt to repeat.
They look really good. I'm cautious to overrate a performance against Dallas, which is still one of the worst defenses in the league.
And it was 31-29.
Yeah. The interesting piece, I will say, I don't think we got to go over everyone's stats in this one, but Arians came out today and said that Ronald Jones is going to start the game in Atlanta tomorrow, which is such a Bruce Arians thing. Would it surprise you if Ronald Jones had 100 yards and a touchdown this week?
Not at all. Atlanta's trash.
Especially because playoff Lenny did not look really great.
Like, I think that both of them are going to score this weekend.
Yeah, I do. But keep an eye on Ronald Jones. They're trying to get his confidence back after he has the fumble last week, which, I mean, if you're a Ronald Jones owner, you're at least like breathing a sigh of relief that they have some faith in him still at this point.
For stats, we won't go over everything really here. Brady's the GOAT. For Mike Evans, nothing. And at some point, he's going to blow up. We know that.
Is AB like back?
I think AB is back. 5 for 121 and a TD. And he looks really good doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But anyone can throw over the Dallas defense.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Godwin absorbed so many targets. You expect a good line from him. 9 for 105 and a TD. He's probably your best bet here. We'll move on to Gronk. He had 2 TDs. A lot of catches. He's not back. He's an old guy here.
I think Rob Gronkowski's an interesting tight end. Like, I think a year with his legs back under him and normal.
OJ Howard's out, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think OJ Howard sees much of the field, sorry. You know.
No, he had an Achilles injury, he's still not back. We'll move on to the Cowboys here. They're going to be playing at the Chargers. Interesting game.
Chargers kind of. They won, but they.
Underwhelmed, yeah. They underwhelmed. It's a really good defense. 1-0, they got the win at D.C. or at the Washington football team. It's 20-16 for a victory, but Herbert definitely struggles.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good defense, though. That Washington is a super underrated defense.
I mean, they got the picks that they've just laid.
Yeah, I mean, they've hit on all those guys up front, too. Austin Eckler, no receptions. Anomaly or trend?
I think anomaly. I'm going to bet anomaly.
He saw some dip in his receiving production at the end of last year when he was like the guy, you know what I mean? Larry Roundtree is the handcuff. It's not Justin Jackson. I will tell you that right now, that it's Larry Roundtree. If anything were to happen to Eckler, that's who gets the
job. I wouldn't be surprised if a situation occurred where around week 6 or so we start seeing Larry Roundtree also getting all the goal line work.
Yeah, I mean,
would you?
No, I mean, Larry Roundtree is an interesting guy. Rookie from Missouri.
He's ran well at Missouri.
Underrated handcuff right now. Not somebody I'm like, you must roster, but...
No, but in deep leagues.
Yeah, deep leagues, he's more interesting than most. Dallas looked really good on offense.
Hold on, time out. Really quick, we got to go back. Wide receivers, we didn't talk about Keenan Allen or
Keenan Allen's
going to
get hits. He's better Allen Robinson.
13 and 12 targets, literally don't worry about them. It's only helpful that you're one of them. Now we'll move to Dallas.
I don't know. Mike Williams is... I'm just not a Mike Williams guy. I know he catches touchdown, but I'm not counting on Mike Williams.
12 targets, 8 for 82 is a good line.
It is.
We'll see if he can do it for 10 games, which he's never done before.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the only touchdown that Mike Williams catches this year.
No.
Dallas.
Let's talk about Dallas. They did lose, but they did put up a good fight against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Dak looked good.
The good CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. super studs. And their value goes up with Gallup on IR.
I know, and then Michael Gallup also actually had a good game and got
doesn't
hurt.
Doesn't matter, he's on IR.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's great that he had a good game and got hurt, because that means that value's going to go.
Yeah. 52 pass attempts for Dak Prescott. I'm a little concerned if I'm a... I've been concerned with Zeke since last year. I mean, you just have the whole 300 touches thing. And also, Tony Pollard is not bad. Okay, like every time the guy touches the ball, he makes a good play with it. Like I rarely see that guy lose yardage or do something stupid with the football. He only played 20% of the snaps, but I'm telling you, as this season goes on, Tony Pollard's going to be a problem.
He just looks like he has fresh legs every time he's in the game.
Yeah.
And he does.
He's Zeke Elliott is further back in my running back one rankings than he – I wasn't high on him at the beginning of the year, and I'm a little – less confident after seeing what Kellen Moore threw out this week in terms of the game plan.
Yeah, I think Bennett is ahead for him still, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
Couldn't be as bad as he was. I mean,
it's gotta go up, man. It's gotta go up.
Speaking of guys who need to go up, Tennessee and Seattle, Derrick Henry, really disappointing week one as well. I mean, Tennessee looked lost.
Whoa. 38-13.
Ryan Tannehill.
And it wasn't that close.
Ryan Tannehill did not earn any of his 212 passing yards or his one BS rushing touchdown that he threw in as well. Like, oh, man. They looked a mess. Like, and Julio Jones is in the doghouse with Mike Vrabel, too.
I didn't like how Mike Vrabel tossed him in there, dude.
I
thought it was bullshit.
I don't think what went on in Atlanta with Julio Jones. I think Julio Jones has to realize that this is not Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like you're not exempt anymore. Like it's not Arthur Blank patting you on the back after you do something stupid like get a penalty on a 3rd and 1. Yep. This is Tennessee, and Mike Vrabel is not Dan Quinn. You know what I mean? Like hopefully this motivates him, but I know a thing or two about Julio Jones from years in Atlanta, and he usually doesn't take well to any sort of negativity thrown in his direction. AJ Brown underwhelmed. I mean, everyone underwhelmed. Hopefully Tennessee rights the ship, and hopefully Arthur Smith was, you know, not the catalyst that made this engine go, or it could be a long season for fantasy owners.
They're playing the Seahawks, who I don't think their defense is that good.
I don't think I think the Titans have a really bad defense as well.
Yeah, so I think for fantasy purposes, this could be a great game.
I mean, but again, you worry about negative game script with Henry a little bit. If Wilson does what he did last week and they get down, because that's kind of what happened to Henry last week against Arizona, was he kind of fell out of the game plan because they got down by so much.
Yep.
And
he can't catch.
Yeah. I mean, we saw this with Zeke a year, you know, like we've seen this with Zeke in years before too, where like some of these stud
Zeke's a little better catching the ball than.
I'm just saying these stud running backs who are guaranteed, you know, you think are guaranteed carries, when they're on bad defenses, sometimes there's just no other option but to throw the football. And, you know, a guy like Derrick Henry does not catch footballs.
No, he does not.
So hopefully the Titans straighten some things out and there's better days ahead for these guys.
For the Seahawks, they are 1-0 coming off that win against Indianapolis.
They look like a well-oiled machine. You know, they looked good.
Weapons.
Tyler Lockett has the big game. DK.
Which one do you want to take away? Because I'm going to hit you with another one. They've got, really, the whole package. They've got a great running back with Carson. You know, worry about injuries with him. But he's pretty consistent, and they love running him, too. You've got two great wide receivers that do different things, and they finally added that tight end that you wanted to see.
Yeah, Gerald Everett's... I don't know that I'm as crazy on Gerald Everett as other people are. I mean, I've seen this guy disappear for many years in Los Angeles.
But will with the target share, he's probably going to get here?
See, I think this is probably one of the lower target shares you're going to see for Metcalf this year. I mean, he wasn't even targeted at halftime. Like, did not have a ball thrown his way at halftime, which is that's an outlier, okay?
Yeah.
Mostly because they were just scoring on big plays left and right, you know, kind of thing as well. But, you know, I think it's a really good offense. I think the only thing that's stopped them in past years has been Russell Wilson just falling off in the second half of the season when they can't protect him. Like, Yeah. You know, the protection's always good. We, you know, 1 through 5, and then it seems like this offensive line falls apart. Dwayne Brown gets hurt.
They're just not very deep.
Yeah, they're not a deep team on the offensive line.
Because they prioritize other positions, which is understood.
Yeah, but it's a really good offense, really good fantasy offense. You know, the upside of DK Metcalf this year is crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Right. If he builds on what he did last year. And Tyler Lockett's, you know, this is probably one of Lockett's best games, let me say that, like, that he has all year. You know, 2 touchdowns, 100 yards, 5 catches.
The 2 touchdowns probably helps.
Yeah, that's the thing. And also with Rashad Penny out, D. Eskridge is probably the handcuff here.
They have D. Eskridge and Alex Collins. You like D. Eskridge better?
They traded up to get D. Eskridge in the draft. So, yes, I like Eskridge a little bit more. He also offers some receiving ability that Collins certainly does not.
Okay. We'll move to the primetime game.
Primetime!
Sunday night football here we got. Nice. This is going to be a hell of a game.
Might be another good one here.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a really nice game here.
Yeah. Kansas City at Baltimore.
Yeah, you're looking at, you know, maybe an AFC championship game, but we've seen it in the past. Personally, it's not my pick for AFC Championship.
Put aside what Mahomes and Kelce and Hill did. Let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. What did you make of his week one performance?
Really trash line here. 14 for 43.
He also just didn't look...
3 for 29 through the air. Just 3.1 yards per carry. That's really bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's a non-factor at the goal line, too. I mean, they don't even...
They refuse, dude.
They don't even think about giving him the ball line, about the goal line. Like, dude, they threw a screen pass to an offensive tackle rather than give the ball to Clyde Edwards. Like, man, I don't know. I'm feeling a little... Like, maybe it's my biggest overreaction of the week, but because I own Clyde Edwards-Helaire someplace, but I'm not feeling good about it after seeing it week one. Especially just because he's not that involved in the passing game. Mahomes is always looking to move the ball down the field. He's never looking to dump it off.
Yeah.
And with the importance of Patrick Mahomes, they have to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire block so much, like, for him as a running. They're like, we can't put you out in a route right now. Like, you have to block for him. Like, and I do think that's what limits some of his receiving upside, too, is just, like, they're like, we got to protect Mahomes, okay? Like, but, I mean, he got the lion's share of the work. Positives? You didn't really see much Darrell Williams or Jared McKinnon.
No, there's no one else,
but I don't know that he's
going to. It's like you would think that he would still be able to inflate his way into RB1 numbers just by being on the best offense in the league or one of the better ones, and yet still.
Yeah.
You're a little worried.
Yeah, for sure.
Tyreek Hill might very well finish as wide receiver one.
Yeah, he probably, it's him or Adams, I think, even after Adams' is terrible week one. Like, I mean, I don't think, Tyreek Hill's just insane. You know what I mean?
15 targets. 11 for 197.
Mahomes just said, I saw your hand up through like a crowd.
He said, I saw your little hand. Yeah. And he was like, and he said, hey, come on, man. Don't call me little on national.
Yeah, I mean,
but he is little and he is really fast.
Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce's just a monster. I mean,
yeah.
Every year I have the dilemma of, like, drafting Travis Kelce in, like, the tail end of my drafts. I'm like, I just can't bring myself to draft a tight end. But he's going to score more than every running back. Like, you know?
Yeah.
It's just weird. Like, he's such a hard player to, like, plan your draft around. Like, if you just go into it with, like, all right, I'm going to take Kelce at 10 and, like, go. And we're going to figure out running back later. It's tough, but, man,
it's an interesting conundrum.
The Ravens lose a... great game on Monday Night Football. Can't stress that enough. One of the better primetime games I've seen in a while. But two fumbles. One of those was on Tyson Williams, who we'll get to. But, you know, what's your thoughts on Lamar after 1 week?
He lost them the game. I think, honestly, we're probably going to see one of his better efforts in this. I'm pumped about this game.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins coming back to Kansas City. He actually didn't look too bad either. I'm not gonna lie.
I know you saw what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
we were playing each other in one of our other leagues, and I had OBJ. I picked him up right before the game, and it ended up working out perfectly. But mm-hmm. He brought it super close,
Super
close. I think I had
Tyson Williams.
Yeah, you did. You got within two points, yeah. But I pulled away.
Yeah, with some Sammy Watkins love. I didn't know that was who it was.
I think I had Sammy Watkins, and I also had Justin Tucker.
Okay, yeah.
I built up a big lead on you early, but you came back.
Yeah, let's talk about Tyson Williams. So.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he looks so explosive compared to the other guys.
I'm often.
You don't like him?
I don't. I don't like Tyson Williams after what I saw in the first week. I just don't think Jim Harbaugh thinks he's or John Harbaugh thinks he's ready to be out there right now. And I think in some aspects of his game, he is not. Like, the pass blocking is bad. He did cost them a fumble. I mean, he looks so explosive. Don't get me wrong.
Like, he looks like the best back in space out there. But I see your concern here is mostly Latavius Murray getting all the important carries.
I mean, I just think...
I saw what you were talking about. Like, Murray got so many carries for being there for a week.
I'm not starting Tyson Williams this week. Like,
so look, you know how many carries Murray got for being there for a week?
11.
That's absurd. Yeah. They trusted him with 11 carries. He'd been there for a week. He doesn't know any of the calls.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to drop Tyson Williams. No. I think you have to be patient with him. I think they're going to try to manufacture touches for him, but I don't think it's going to be high volume. I think it's kind of the J.K. Dobbins role from last year is like really what I'll equate it to, is that he's going to get some touches in between the 20s, you know what I mean? And he has some big play threat ability, but... I just don't think he's going to be any sort of consistent. He might come out and prove me wrong. Like, you know what I mean? I guess he does know the playbook better than anyone else at this point. You know, that's what he has going for him. But he cannot run block that well.
They cut the little special teams running back.
Cannon. Yeah. But they said all four guys are going to be active this week and probably touch the ball. Like, Harbaugh came out and said that we have four running backs. They're all going to be...
Wait. Who are the four?
Bell, Freeman... Williams.
They promoted Le'Veon Bell too.
Yeah. They're all gonna be active. So that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot in the tea leaves here that says, like, Tyson Williams might have been a 1 week fill-in. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't feel like they would have promoted Bell and Freeman if they were like good with him and Murray. You know,
you saw some good stuff out of Tyson Williams. You saw some really bad stuff out of Tyson Williams. And I think he's just going to have to mature as an NFL player to really earn. They're going to make him earn this job. Okay. If he's going to be the guy, they're going to give him opportunities. I'm thinking 8 touches this week. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably where he's going to be at. Now, I will say he's probably the best receiver out of all of these guys. He also put the ball on the ground once, too. He fumbled out of bounds, but he fumbled as well. Like, and he had kind of a mishandled snap with Jack. I don't know who that one was on. It looked like Jackson tried to pull the ball away, but that might be just chemistry with a back he doesn't know that well. But I think people are gaga over Tyson Williams over 1 week, and I own a ton of shares of him. Mm-hmm. Like, I was on him. I drafted him in a lot of leagues. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, I like Tyson Williams. But I'm lower on him than when I went into last week, despite the good line.
Of the other crowd of running backs, who do you think is the biggest threat?
Murray. It's Murray. Like, you know what I mean? And then I would say Freeman, because Freeman actually showed a little bit last year.
Well, also there's this thing that Freeman was on in camp with someone this summer.
Saints. You know?
Yeah, and he got cut, but he's in shape, whereas Bill... I really do think Bell's
washed. Like,
smoking blunts on the couch last
week.
Yeah,
that's kind of my... If you're not paying Le'Veon Bell to work, he's not working.
Yeah.
But does he have that much ability left? I don't think so. We saw it kind of in Kansas City. He didn't look great, like, last year. So, again, this is the worst backfield right now.
It's also week two. And on week two, when we're addressing this and being like, you know, it's Williams, Murray, Freeman. The chances of it being Williams, Murray, Freeman in week 8 are almost 0%.
I mean, and most people look at Tyson Williams' line from last week and be like, man, this guy, you know, the fourth down run was super impressive. Nobody hits the hole of those three guys like that.
It's one week.
But yeah, Tyson Williams could have 3 touches this week. I'm just going to be frank about it. Like, I'm starting Ronald Jones over him in a very important league. You know what I mean? Because
that's a ballsy move. See how
Ronald Jones in Atlanta with the starter role. Like,
oh, well, yeah, he's playing the Falcons, so him and Unc Lenny are going to both score. Probably
this could get out of hand for the running game for Baltimore. Let's be honest, Baltimore's defense didn't look great against the Raiders. You know what I mean? They are banged up. They are minus Peters or minus Jimmy Smith. It's pretty much Marlon Humphrey out in the secondary, and they lost.
They
lost two starters in the pass rush, and they didn't generate a lot of pass rush, is what I saw to them. So not your typical Baltimore defense, potentially, is what I would say. Everyone else, you
know, still got guys, man.
Marquise Brown had a nice night as well. You know, like, he looked more active. He made a crook, dude, that one-handed catch in the middle of the field. Yeah. It's like, there's no way he got that.
Sit down, dude. But, say less.
Yeah. but, you know, Sammy Watkins could end up being pretty consistent for them because they really don't have anyone else. There's some upside in Sammy Watkins, I will say that.
So we'll move on to the Monday Night Football segment here. We've got Detroit at Green Bay. This is a really classic Monday Night Football game.
Yeah, I mean,
this one is a feel-good game.
Detroit has no wide receivers. Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift are both... Swift's probably an RB2 right now. Williams is definitely a flex play. You know what I mean? They're both going to catch a lot of balls, is what I extracted from last week.
Right.
Like, Tyrell Williams is bad. TJ Hawkinson's going to get his. I don't know that Jared Goff is going to have as great a day as he did against San Francisco, but somebody has to catch passes. They're going to be in junk time a lot, and both of these backs are good at catching balls. So, it was probably too low on DeAndre Swift, like, in my opinion, but seeing how their game script played out last week, and that is one thing that Jared Goff does well, is dump it down to, like, guys around the line of scrimmage.
That's his game.
That, so, I think they're both fine. You know what I mean? Jamal Williams is somebody I wish I had a little more share of, too, especially with, you know, he's been very consistently in healthy, PPR, and DeAndre Swift is not.
Yeah, in PPR leagues, I was trying to get him late. I, of course, never did.
Yeah.
But it is what it is there. I think that Tyrell Williams eventually will probably be talked about on this show. I don't want to, but it's probably going to happen.
Because I mean,
they're going to have to throw to someone.
He got hurt last week. He has a concussion. Yeah. He's not optimistic for this week. So, yeah. Like that, I mean, what a surprise. Tyrell Williams 1 week and an injury. Like,
somebody's got to catch balls other than...
I think it's going to be the running backs and Hawkinson, honestly.
Yeah.
I think both these guys could push 60 catches this year.
True.
You know, like, I don't think it's that ridiculous. Maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown steps up later in the season. They cut Breshad Perriman. I mean, if Quintez Cephas, like, I don't know. It's a weird situation. It's the running backs to me, though. That's, like, what stand out right now. They're going to catch a lot of balls. So roll with them, you know. They're going to be trailing a lot and dumping it off. Packers.
Wow, man.
My oh my. They look like a team that did not practice all offseason.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Better days
ahead. I totally agree. We're not even going to say the lines. Yeah, they're all really bad.
I mean, Adams kind of was like 80 yards, something like that. No, you know what I mean?
We're not even going to say.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad. It was really, really, really bad.
We're hitting reset. So, you know.
So, you got a home game.
Against
Detroit. It's a Lions.
Yeah, I mean, this is
title town.
This is get right.
Yeah, I think we'll see better.
This is a get
right. I still won't be surprised if we don't see the eye popping numbers, but I think it's a good game for Aaron Jones.
I think everyone has to have a better game than they did last week, you know, is what I would say. But yeah, they just. I can't explain what happened. You know what I mean? Like, I really can't. Like, they looked
like... Aaron Rodgers looking like Nicolas Cage playing Aaron Rodgers.
They looked like Nichols State trying to play Alabama. Okay? Yeah. Like, I mean, they... that was an abomination.
Even Jameis Winston said he never... the last time he felt like he dominated a game like that was in college.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
That's ridiculously large. That's an insult.
The only thing that can... The really concerning thing is, like, I don't know what to make of Green Bay's offensive line. Like, they have no David Bakhtiari right now. They got a lot of young players.
He is due back, though.
Yeah.
I think it's not.
It's like 4 to 5 weeks. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so he's short-term IR, but they need him back.
We try to keep up with all the other player injuries that matter and not talk about offensive tackles on here.
But... It matters, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, no, it absolutely matters. It's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
We didn't talk about Quentin Nelson's injury of the Colts, but it's a huge deal.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't look as good running the ball.
No, they did not.
You know? But better days ahead, hopefully, for the Packers, because God knows there's so many shares. Robert Tonyan's a guy, you know, I think he was way overdrafted. Way overdrafted. I'm not feeling great about Robert Tonyan, at least
earlier. And where he was going to, I was like, I'm out.
He was like ahead of Dallas Goedert in places. I was like, no, I don't think so.
If you waited that long for tight end, you might as well just pick something off the scrap.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith or Cole Kmet or, you know, Jared Cook had a little bit of relevance last week, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not feeling good if I'm a Robert Tonyan owner, especially after week one, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
terrified.
They're going to get back to the roots. They're going to throw the ball probably 20 times to Devontae Adams in this game, and they're going to run it 20 times with Aaron Jones.
Well, that's probably going to do it for this week, though, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of leave you. It's been a long week. It's been a long pod. We're going to get back at you next week. We'll do some a little more segmenting next year or next week. But thanks for listening, guys.
We're happy to be back.
Yeah, we're great. We're grateful to be back. We're happy to be back. Download. Please listen to us on Spotify and Apple iTunes.
Anywhere you get your podcasts.
Anywhere you can be, podcasts can be found. Yep. All right, guys. Peace out.